Pirates versus Tyrants. This is the Tom Wren Show, where we practice piracy on the enemies of freedom and liberty. Welcome back, everybody. Boy, it was a wonderful 2022, and we are now moved into officially 2023. I said wonderful, right? I did say that. Did I misspeak? No? No, it was. I didn't. There were a lot of good things that happened in 2022, and, you know, I'm an eternal optimist, so you got to understand that from my perspective, 2022 was full of terrible, terrible things, glass half empty type things. I mean, we've got corruption, we've got censorship, we've got another election steal, we've got all sorts of garbage, the COVID, just you name it, right? But, it's always darkest before dawn, and I am truly an optimist. Now, the thing that I saw from my perch, and you got to understand that, you know, God's given me a heck of an opportunity. I get to travel around the country. I get to be with patriots. I get to see people. I get to talk to people all over the place. And from my perch, 2022, despite all its problems, facilitated one of the most important things I've seen happen probably in the past century in this country. And that was a reawakening on a level I just really don't even know how to describe. The patriots, the people of God, the good people of this country, so much truth has come out. And what happened is 2020, 2021 really jarred some of the warriors into fighting. It jarred me into it. I was fighting like heck. And it took us a while because we're fighting this huge beast on the other side. But we kept fighting. And little by little, we kept chinking away at the armor of this beast. And you have to understand that the armor of the beast has always been lies. It's always been falsehoods. It's always been misinformation. You know, they would sit and they would tell us that we were spreading misinformation. But the reality is that we were spreading truth and that they were calling us liars when we were spreading truth because they didn't want the truth to be out there. Well, that truth has continued to spread and we've been able to gather more and more evidence, and it's solid evidence. It's evidence you can take to a court. It's evidence that you could convict these people on. And as that truth has came out, more people have woke up. And it was a cycle, right? I mean, you know, for a long time, they would hide more, and more and more and more people went to sleep. Now we're on the other side of that. And the more information we get out, the more people wake up and the more information we generate. Yeah, you know, when I dropped the first real big bombshell on the COVID stuff, yeah, you know, and the COVID vaccine. First bombshell on COVID period, when I dropped the lawsuit in mid 2020, saying that the lockdowns were garbage and that this was nowhere near as dangerous as they were saying. That woke a lot of people up. And then some more people started researching and digging and finding stuff. Then fast forward, you know, we're dropping more bombshells and more people are waking up. You know, June of, I believe, 2021, you know, we dropped the information that we had the whistleblower from HHS that had provided information showing that, you know, there'd likely been over 45,000 deaths at the time from the vaccine. 45,000 in June already of 21. So, you know, we knew what was happening. We've known what was happening. We're going to continue to know because we're on top of this stuff. And as more people found it out, more people fought. Now, I mean, there's a whole army of freedom fighters in the COVID movement talking about truth. And we're about to see that happen everywhere. We're about to see that spread. As people found out the truth about COVID, well, you know, it seems a little less conspiratorial to think that the elections were stolen, once you realize that these are actually the same people who really did create a disease that's killed 7 million people, and a jab that went with it that's nothing more than a bioweapon that's killed millions and millions more, and will continue to in the coming years. So the thing is all they had was to say, well, don't talk to those guys. They're conspiracy theorists. They never had any facts. They never had anything. They wouldn't allow us to be transparent. We continue to say, disprove me, right? You think I'm full of crap. You show me. Just show me. Open your books. Let's have a full, transparent, independent audit. You do that, well, you can discredit me. But they never do that. They never, ever do that. And they never do that because if they did and we saw the truth, they'd probably end up at the end of a noose. It's that bad. So, you know, we've continued to march on. And so many people are awake now and so many more are fighting that, you know, to be real honest, I view 2022 as a huge win. Huge win. And 2023 is where I think we're going to start seeing results from that win and accountability. I'm very optimistic for the upcoming year. I think 2023 is going to be an incredible, incredible year for patriots and freedom lovers around the world, not just America, but around the world, because they had to take America out. Having a shining city on a hill built on freedom, well, that really undermines the arguments for tyranny everywhere. And the people around the world, the one thing that I've had the really heard a lot, and I've had this privilege because, well, I don't even know why, but I'm going to tell you, I've been so honored to talk to lawyers and leading minds from different countries around the world about what's happening. And the thing that I kept hearing from them privately is, when are the Americans going to wake up and do something? You know, our country's too corrupt. We just can't do it. We need the Americans to do something first. And they kept waiting for the American people. And we just kept letting ourselves get kicked in the face and kicked dirt in our eyes. And we just sat there and took it like a bunch of snowflake wusses. I wonder why they try and keep us snowflake wusses. But we did. Well, now, you know, the sleeping giant of America, we're really starting to stir. We're getting up. You know, General Michael Flynn, a wonderful man, great hero, great patriot, and a friend of mine, you know, he talks about the Great Reawakening. Clay Clark, you know, I've had the privilege of speaking with him on the Reawakening Tour. You know, I travel around and speak there. The reason for they call it the Reawakening or the Awakening is that people are waking up. Patriots are waking up. Christians are waking up. We're all starting to realize that this is an attack on freedom, an attack on faith, an attack on everything that's good. You know, even our Muslim brothers and sisters, and I say that, and I know that a lot of people, you know, they worry about the Islamic faith, but there's a lot of really, really solid, good people who just want to live their life, and they live that faith, and that's what they do. Even our Muslim brothers and sisters who joined in, you know, you didn't hear anything about this, but there were massive, massive protests and rallies and things that went on up in the, I believe, the Dearborn, Michigan area, where Muslims and Christians came together to say, this grooming that you're doing in our children is not acceptable. We're just not going to tolerate it. When it's so bad that you see these people of faith unifying, you know that it's really pretty monstrous, because people of faith have historically, and I'm Catholic, and we're going to talk about that in a minute, but, you know, people of faith, we always tend to diverge into our little camps, and sometimes that's good, sometimes it's bad, but it's more bad than good, I think. So to me, when I see the people of faith, especially different faiths, unifying on anything, I always think to myself, boy, it must be real bad now. And it is. But that bad has created good, because we did unify. God bless our brothers and sisters who were standing for their children. You know, we're all human, right? God's going to sort it out at the end. And till then, we're supposed to treat everyone like a brother and sister and love our neighbor. At least if you're a Christian, that's what you're supposed to believe. So not my spot to make any judgments, and I support everybody's faith, but that's the reawakening, right? That's what it is. We're awakening. And I'm going to plug Clay. You know, I mean, we've got the next tour stop is coming up in Nashville. I believe, the January 20th and 21st, I believe. I'm looking forward to going down there. I'll be speaking. So there'll be a whole lot of, you know, I'm speaking, but you should still come. Despite that. No, I'm joking. Listen, I look forward to it. I always have such a good time because the people at these things are so good. And, you know, that tour has been vilified. It's really something that's interesting. The other side is terrified of that. You know, that tour, we've gone all over the country. We've spoken all over the place. And it's never about hate. It's never about divisiveness. It's about love. It's about faith. It's about God. It's about Jesus. It's about supporting our country and each other and just being free, good people and loving each other. That's all it is. They've tried to paint it as all sorts of things because, you know, God knows the left hates anything that involves faith or love or freedom, but that's all it is. And if you haven't been to one, I want to urge you, check it out, because it's really, man, it's an amazing thing. It really is. You see, the first one was in Oklahoma, and I had the opportunity to speak there. And I got to tell you, it was really an earth-shattering event in my life, because it was the first time I'd ever been anywhere where you see a bunch of, you know, highly placed people, people who are, you know, in the know, connected people, and all these big shots, right? And they let me come. And you got all these big shots sitting around. And what you guys don't see is what's happening behind the stage. And do you know what that is? You see people sitting around praying together. I'm not joking. You literally see people praying together. It's not uncommon at these things to have someone come up and say, listen, I just want to pray for you. Do you mind? And I mean, do you mind? No, I mean, for me personally, hey, I need all the favors I can get. So please, by all means. But that's what these are. I have never once in any way, shape, or form at any of these tours heard a racist remark, a bigoted remark, a sexist remark. I've not heard anybody say anything about hating anyone. I've heard people talk extensively about praying for our enemies, about hoping that God takes care of things, and that, you know, we can win our freedom back peacefully and with love, but never a word of hate. It's one of the most incredible things I've ever seen, because the people there are all fighters. And, you know, they fight so hard and they get attacked so badly. And still, despite that, no hate. 2023 is going to be a great year. We've woke up people. The reawakening has begun and will continue. The reawakening is going to be monumental. You know, we got things like the America Out Loud Network right here. We have Truth Social. We have Twitter's actually allowing us to speak right now. I pray that continues. You know, we're seeing the censorship starting to fail. We have Getter, Cloud Hub, all these different venues where conservatives can actually speak. The message is getting out, and the people are starting to understand, and they're starting to wake up, and it's going to be incredible now. And we've reached a threshold where I think there's so many people who are understanding and are waking up on such a level that we're seeing even the mainstream media sellout scumbags are having to acknowledge it to an extent. I mean, for God's sakes, even Fox News has started to acknowledge issues with the vaccines. Fox News, the number one vaccine cheerleader on the planet. Fox News, where the battle cry of the people who stayed on there was, well, at least I can do some good if I only sell out 50%. I'm sorry, but if you sold out 50%, you sold out 100%. There is no selling out 50%. You either sell out or you don't. And, you know, for anyone there that did sell out, I pray that those guys will wake up and say to the people, you know what, we made a mistake. And we're going to write this and it's never going to happen again. If that happens, then I think we the people should be forgiving them. If not, I think we the people need to be done with this, with the fake patriots that aren't patriots. You either stand for truth and report the truth, or go work for CNN. Just go ahead. Just acknowledge it. Be an MSNBC crook. Someone who doesn't care at all about truth or news, who's just there to push an agenda. Just own it. That's what you want to do. I got no problem with that. We got free speech in this country. You want to own it, own it. Just don't pretend that you're a conservative. Don't pretend you're a patriot and then, you know, sell out on issues like vaccines or elections. You either stand for truth or you don't, and it's just that simple. But the truth has been stood for, and those of us that have been standing and taking the abuse and taking the fight understand that that has been a fight worth having, and it's getting out there. So I'm very optimistic about 2023. I think 2023 is going to be an amazing year. I think, you know, we've got enough Republicans in the House that are good, you know, actually good, that I'm hoping we're going to get some things done. Now, I want you to be aware, though, I'm asking you guys, if you're paying attention to me, you're probably one of three people. No, I'm joking. Sorry. I have at least six listeners. So if you're paying attention, you're probably a thinking person. And I want you to be aware. I want you to look at your GOP leaders in Congress who you think are really getting things done. I want you to see how much of what they do is to bluster about things that they literally have no control over, and how much they actually do on the things that they do have control over. If you look at that, what you're going to be able, and I'm not going to mention any names right now, but I'm going to tell you there are some very, very highly regarded House members that everybody thinks are good conservative patriots, and they shoot their mouth off like no other. When it comes time to actually do something, you can count on one thing. They will do nothing. They're great at providing deflection, at acting like they care, and then accomplishing nothing. More on that coming, but, you know, the Genesis HOCL is an amazing product. If you're getting sick, if you're coughing, if you're hacking, I mean, it's cold flu season, right? I mean, that's out there. This product is an atomizer. It atomizes this HOCL solution, puts it up in there, and it kills germs. It's going to prevent you from spreading germs. So if one of you or your family, your kids are bringing the gunk home from school, I mean, yuck. That's why you should homeschool. No, I'm kidding. You probably should. But anyways, the Genesis HOCL is a lifesaver on that. So I want to urge you to check it. Use the Out Loud code at checkout. You get a huge discount. I believe it's 20%, a huge discount. This is a really high quality product. It is something that I use. I have right here. It's just, it's over here to my left. And if my kids are hacking, that's what we do. So use Out Loud code at checkout, click on the banner ad, and we'll be right back.
We know you love the versatility and portability of the Genesis Fogger, but sometimes you just want to set it and forget it. Well, we heard you. Introducing the UX4 HOCL Atomizer. This stationary unit quietly protects you and is perfect for smaller spaces. With over 250,000 units sold in Japan, it's now available in the United States. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud to see the UX4 in action and receive a 15% discount on either Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you're ready for anything.
The spirit of American liberty and justice is woven into the soul of America Out Loud. We are the voice of a nation, the American nation, that is. This is Malcolm Out Loud. I invite you back to AmericaOutLoud.com, where the fight for liberty and justice continues. America Out Loud Talk Radio.
These days, every time you turn on the news, it seems like there's a new threat to your health. Maintaining a strong immune system has never been more critical. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created Immune Super Boost to help you strengthen your immunity. Unlike other supplements that don't work, Immune Super Boost is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra absorption of science-backed nutrients proven to support immunity, like vitamin C, D3, zinc, elderberry, and echinacea. These physician-formulated gels come in a small gel pack. Tear off the top and shoot it down, or mix it in water. Boost your immunity. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited-time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD.
All righty. Well, welcome back. You know, before the break, I was talking about some of the guys that like to run their mouth in Congress. And, Well, then they don't do anything. So this has become a pretty well-worn trope of the GOP. And there's a few guys who do it better than any. And again, I'm not going to point names right now, because I'm hoping that now that the GOP is back in control of the House, we'll see a little bit more getting done. But I challenge you, the listener, to look at the guys who run their mouth the most and then see what they do. Look at their committee appointments, because we've got some of them who'll be committee leaders or committee this or committee that. Look at where they are. See what they're doing there. See what legislation they're pushing. See what bills they've drafted. See what actions they've taken to repeal bills. I need you to take a look, and you need to look deeper. This is happening on both the House and Senate, and this is a part of the whole rhino hunting that I've talked about in the past. The rhinos, you know, they're sharp. These rhinos, they know what to do. They know how to hide. And you got to understand, the enemies of freedom are not stupid. So you got to look and see not what they're saying, but what they're doing. It's great that you're going on Fox News and griping about, I don't know, the border. But what are you doing about it? You know, are you going to hold a hearing on the vaccine, or are you just going to, you know, gripe about it? If you're going to hold a hearing, are you going to invite people who are going to talk about things that might be politically uncomfortable, or are you going to limit who's invited? Are you going to invite experts who actually hit the nail on the head and ask the tough questions? And then are you going to let them? Because I'll tell you that sometimes you go to hearings at state or federal, and they'll tell you, you can say this, you can't say that, you can do this, you can't do that. Well, wait a second. Are we trying to get to truth, or are we trying to get put on a dog and pony show here? The people's house is the people's house. I think we ought to have some experts from around the country come in and give them a few minutes to talk about what's actually happening. I'd love to talk about my experiences. Problem is if I come in, I'm going to tell you the truth. That might be a little scary. There are things like that going on, and you know, this is something you got to be aware of. You need to dig into, and this is a we the people thing, right? If we're going to be awake, we're going to fight back, we're going to pay attention. You got to look not just at what they're saying, but what are they doing? Because these guys do have the capacity to do things. You know, some of them are. I mean, some of them have really done some great things. You know, I mean, I've appreciated Ron Johnson. Rand Paul seems to be really pushing some things. There's a few guys really doing some things. But you got to look in a little bit deeper and see which guys are just shooting their mouth and which guys aren't doing anything. So, you know, that's all happening. I'd mentioned, you know, Catholicism. I think I also mentioned some of the abusing children thing, which is ironic. There might be a tie in there. I say that, though, with half a grin. And the reason I say that with half a grin is that I'm Catholic. I am Catholic. And sorry to tell you that this scumbag piece of trash in Rome is somehow supposed to be the head of a church that I'm a part of. I will tell you, he's not my pope. And I put about as much faith into that piece of trash as I do into the raccoon that's goes through my trash can once a week. You know, the guy is hot garbage. He's pushing things that are completely against Catholicism, and it's just ridiculous. But we saw Pope Benedict just died. God rest his soul. And you know, there's just a lot of funky things going on with him, right? I mean, he steps down, first guy in six centuries. Then we get this new guy who announces when he's getting put in, you know, hope you know what you're doing. And apparently they didn't. You got all of these things happening. You know, you see, I mean, there's been talks about, you know, I believe Bishop Vignano talked a little bit about, you know, some of the people in the Vatican that are really there trying to create a spring in the Catholic Church, you know, trying to essentially overturn Catholicism from within. The enemy is within in the Catholic Church. And I say that as a practicing Catholic. I go to church. My particular priest is a heck of a guy. I like him, but he did missionary work, and he's just a good man. He's what I think you ought to be as a priest. But the church itself overall, I mean, it's just full of garbage. I mean, we got perverts in there that are getting cut, you know, they're covering it up. I'm sorry. I don't care whether you're a priest or not. And God should can deal with, you know, forgiving your sins. We can forgive your sins, but I'm not going to tell you something. Forgiving your sins and preventing justice are two different things. If you're a pervert and you're screwing with kids, I don't care if you're a priest or not. You need some serious consequences for that. And I'm going to be honest, the law doesn't allow for the consequences I think ought to occur. But, so as a lawyer, I'm going to leave it at that. But I'm going to tell you, if you're screwing with kids, you definitely need some serious consequences. And the Catholic Church spending the amount of money it does per year on a national and international basis to defend these pervert scumbags. Listen, these are child molesters. Just so that you know, when I go to church on the weekend, if I put money in that basket, that money is in part being used to defend child molesters. Are you kidding me? So I quit giving to them. I don't. I will give to specific asks. You know, if my church says, you know, this person needs something, can you help them out? Yeah, I'll help the person. You know, hey, I need this for something. Okay, is 100% of the money going to that? Yep. Is any of it going to the diocese? Nope. Okay, then I'll support it. If one dime of that money goes to this diocese, not doing it, because this diocese is defending child molesters. It's covering for them. It's not doing right by the church. It's also teaching something that's untrue. I see this commonly, and it's not just the Catholic Church that does this. And I want to challenge you as people of faith, for any of you that are people of faith, and I don't even think it really matters what faith you are. This is something that I see fairly common in church. So I believe in God, right? I mean, there's no question. I know God. He's a good dude. He takes good care of me. He allows me to do things I should not be able to do. You know, Jesus saved me. You know, I believe all that stuff there. So for me, that's just part of my life. I don't question it. I accept it. It is what it is. Here's the thing, though. I go to church, and, you know, that's about camaraderie. You gather with like-minded people to study a similar faith. Right? Where in the Bible, if you're a Christian, did Christ say, if you don't go to the Catholic Church, you're going to hell? Pretty sure I missed that passage. How about, if you don't go to the Catholic Church every weekend, you're going to hell? I might have missed that passage too. I'm pretty sure Christ was the guy that was forgiving sinners right and left, wasn't he? Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't make an effort to do these things. We should make an effort to do all these things. But out of one side of the church's mouth, you have your local priest telling you that if you don't go every week, it's a sin and it's this and it's that. Then you've got the Pope telling you, well, you know, maybe communism's okay. And we got climate change. You know. Who am I to judge Nancy Pelosi and her abortion stance? You know, I mean, yeah, the Pope's telling us to not worry about sins that seem to be pretty major issues to me. Well, my priest is telling me that I might go to a good friend whose child was conceived via in vitro is a sinner and the kid shouldn't be baptized. What? So this kid. Apparently, the gift of life is only a miracle when it's done the Catholic Church's way. This kid's a sinner and can't be baptized, but we're supposed to be okay with defending pedophiles? The church is not the gatekeeper to God. God is between you and him, right? I mean, you go directly to God. God doesn't need a middleman. Church is a wonderful thing. I support church. I support everything about it. I love my faith. The depth and the wisdom of the 2,000 years of the Catholic Church is amazing. If you can get past the corruption. But right now, this church is so corrupt I put it amongst some of the worst churches in Catholic history. It is mind-blowing. What we're seeing is inexcusable, and it's unforgivable in a lot of ways. Not unforgivable, but it's between God and them. But I'm not God, I'm man. And I find it borderline unforgivable to see this church out there castigating and ripping apart people for sins on an individual level, while they have a pope running around pushing for the entire institution to support sin. It is mind-blowing. Why is Nancy Pelosi's pro-abortion stance more acceptable than the miracle that was the little girl that was born in vitro from a friend of my family's? Huh? How, can anyone explain that to me? I'm okay if the church wants to stand for the ideal Catholic and faithful action. It doesn't. It's not even close. Cast out the log in your own eye, right? Or cast, you can't fix someone else when you're a train wreck. And that's what the church is right now. I think the church needs to focus internally. They need to quit raising money to support pedophiles. They need to come out and publicly acknowledge there's a problem. They need to remove them all, every single one of them. If you are caught as a pedophile, if you've done anything pedophile related, you need to be gone permanently. What you do between you and God is between you and God, but you should not be a part of this church. You cannot be an example. You cannot be a faith leader if you're a perverted pedophile. I'm sorry. That's just the way it is. I'm saying all this not out of anger, not because I want to stoke anti-Catholic sentiment. Quite the contrary. I am Catholic. I'm not leaving my faith. I'm calling for reform. I'm calling for the Catholics in this country to stand for what the Bible teaches, not for what the Pope teaches, because they are completely different. This Pope is a piece of trash. He treats the Bible like it's toilet paper. I've never seen anything like it in my lifetime, and I weep for my church. I just, it's one of the saddest things I've ever seen. You know, it. Some of this stuff is important for Catholics. You know, I mean, one of the things that's really kind of got me. So when COVID started, you know, every year or every week you'd go to church. And if you're Catholic, you go to church every week. They tell you, well, you got to be here because you got to get the Blessed Sacrament. Every week, we got to have communion, 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 communion. That's why you got to go to church, right? That's so important. It's so important that when COVID came, most of the Catholic churches quit doing communion. I want you to think about that. The body and blood of Christ, as a Catholic, you're supposed to believe that that's literally the body and blood of Christ after it's been sanctified. That is the Catholic Church's position. Now, apparently, we have so little faith in the body and blood of Christ that we are of the opinion that we might get COVID and die while trying to do it. And so we should discount it. We should just throw that ceremony, throw that ritual, throw that out. We don't need that, right? Because the body and blood of Christ, it's not important. It's important enough that you're going to go to hell if you don't come to Mass every weekend so you can tithe. But it's so, but not so important that we're going to, you know, potentially catch a COVID over it, right? Church really showed its colors there. Jesus was quite clear and, in fact, literally lived the idea that there are things worse than death. Our Catholic Church is so dang cowardly, they wouldn't even allow for a sacrament to go forward. I had a priest, one of my local priests at the time, who I didn't like at all. It wasn't my priest. I actually quit going to his church because he is, to my mind, a piece of garbage. He would not go anoint the sick. He wouldn't give them their last blessings before they died. I'm supposed to call him Father? I'm supposed to treat him with the respect of a church leader? He's a coward. That's nonsense. You don't get my respect by being a coward. You're supposed to be standing strong with God. And I understand we all fall short, and who am I to judge anybody? But if you're the church, it's your job to try and set an example, not to cower, not to sell out at every given opportunity. It is absurd. I got to tell you, I guess for lack of a better term, animosity I feel towards the actions of my church over the last couple of years is just mind-blowing. And like I said, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not trying to convince anybody that the Catholic Church is bad. Rather, I'm trying to convince my brother and sister Catholics that we got to stand together and reform this. I got to tell you, I think we should all, don't give them another dime. Don't give them another dime. You tell me why a bishop needs to live in a mansion. I thought you were a servant of God. When the hell did you become a king? Why do our Catholic bishops need the money that they've got? Why do we spend millions and millions of dollars on all sorts of nonsense and garbage? When, you know, why aren't we feeding the poor? Why aren't we using it for evangelization? Why aren't we giving it to people who are doing good things? Money, power, corruption. That's the Catholic Church right now. And we, the faithful, we need to come together. We need to stand for this. We need to fix this. We got to do something. Like I said, you need to withhold money. You need to let them know why you're withholding money. You need to stand. We need to talk about it. You know, this is stuff that needs to be out there. It just does. Because if we don't stand for our church, it's going to fail. Where the foundation of our church is right now, I mean, the ultimate foundation is always in Christ. And that part will always stand. But the foundation upon which the modern church is built is becoming quite shaky. Rome is garbage. The leadership of the church is garbage. And we really, really need to do something about this. I also need you to support our work. Go to tomrenz.com and support us. We've got a number of sponsors there. If you need gold, go to bh-pm.com. Buy it there. Tell them Renz sent you. You can buy your pillows from MyPillow. You can buy your slippers. Lindell's got all sorts of good stuff, and he's a good dude. He does a lot of good things. If you're going to buy it, if you buy it from tomrenz.com, I get a piece of it. And that piece goes to the fight, right? Because everything I got goes to the fight. All I care about is freedom. If you support me, I can fight harder. That's what I'm trying to do. So please help us with that. We got Eric Naputi, his one of his new vitamin companies is up and running there. It's amazing. Nugenix, it's amazing. You need to take a look at this. We're going to be rolling out a bunch of stuff on this. Sign up for my Substack, tomrenz.substack.com. Please support us. The more you support us, the more we can do, and the more we can do, the faster we win our freedom. We'll be right back.
While many things we hear are lies, we know one thing is true. Viruses exist and people get sick. Look, there's no guaranteed way to keep from getting sick, but there is a way to reduce your chances. Cofix RX, the original povidone iodine-based antiviral nasal spray that you hear Dr. McCullough talking about, provides an additional, invisible layer of protection from colds, flu, coronaviruses, and more. Click the banner ad on AmericaOutloud.com and use promo code OUTLOUD for 20% off. Stay protected with Cofix RX.
You wouldn't go a day without brushing your teeth or washing your hands. What about washing your nose? I mean, your nose does filter the air you breathe, air loaded with bacteria, viruses, and irritants. Make nasal hygiene part of your routine with Clear. No messy bottles to fill, no drowning sensation. Clear is a natural drug-free saline with the added benefit of xylitol, which blocks bacterial and viral adhesion. Available in stores and online at clear.com. That is XLEAR.com.
All right, all right, all right, friends. Let me tell you what. If you live in the great state of Arkansas, right? Arkansas. And Arkansas, you know, Arkansas gets a bad rap primarily because, well, you've got Clinton, right? I mean, but no one's perfect. And it's like judging Ohio by Mike DeWine. I mean, yeah, you just got to give these guys a break out there. Arkansas's got a lot of good people, and it's a pretty state. It's actually quite pretty if you look around. But what you don't have is a very good governor, apparently. So this buffoon over there, Asa Hutchinson, is out here rallying against Trump. Why? Why? What the hell are you doing? Now, he said he might run. Okay, great. Great. So you're going to do whatever you got to do to keep Trump from winning. Are you trying to run because you want to win or because you want him to lose? I'm kind of curious what you're going to vote for him. Why I should, you know, what should I vote for you for? What are you for, right? So this guy is griping about January 6th, which immediately tells me that he has absolutely no ability to look past a political narrative and is willing to sell out to whatever sort of political winds are blowing that day. And also that I don't want him as my president. Now, if he said, listen, you know, I disagree with Donald Trump because on his policy on you know, foreign trade, and I don't think I want him to be president because of that, that I could live with, right? That I could live with. And I'd say, okay, I can respect your differences. I may not agree with you because I do like Trump's foreign trade policy, but, you know, but not this guy. No, this buffoon, he's out here trying to get some press by talking about how he's going to do everything he can to make sure Trump won't be the nominee because of January 6th. That's just political garbage. There's no substance to that. There's no brains to it. There's not, okay, what's your point here? What are you trying to prove? Just that, you know, kiss the butt of the establishment because, you know, that's what you're showing. Hey, everybody, vote for me because I will get down on my knees and I will literally kiss Nancy Pelosi's rear end or whoever else happens to be on the other side of the aisle. I will absolutely reach across the aisle. I won't stand for anything. I will sell out every chance I'm given. You should vote for me. Sounds like a great pitch. Sounds like a great pitch. Okay, so just in case you wanted to know and weren't sure, Asa Hutchinson will probably not ask, nor would he get my endorsement if he runs for president in 2024. That will affect at least two opinions in this country. So there we go. Now that we've spoken about Asa Hutchinson and his brainless, butt-kissing, spineless GOP position, I think him and Mitt Romney should hang out. Actually, I think they're probably BFFs. I bet you they text something. I don't know. Send emojis. Who knows? All right. So, yeah, I'm sorry. California, speaking of my Catholic church and, you know, the perverts that they're defending, I think the Catholic Church ought to move its head from Rome to California. Because California is now a sanctuary state for trans kids. California is into abusing children almost as much as the Pope is into covering up for people who abuse children. And again, I'm Catholic, so I can say that, right? Apparently, if you're part of the problem, you're allowed to talk about things. I don't know. Anyways, yeah, sanctuary state for trans kids. Well, that makes total sense. I mean, you need a sanctuary state for trans kids, especially the five-year-olds that they start pushing transgenderism on in California, because, you know, you get to kindergarten and you need sexual education in kindergarten. Now, if any of you happen to be listening that are parents, you know that by 5 years old, most kids, I mean, they could barely keep it in their pants, frankly. I mean, they're very sexual at that age. Or not. That's perverted. I got to be honest, that joke made me feel dirty. Okay, it really did. This is so sick. These people are perverts. You know, they say, well, we're not groomers, we're just educating. No, you're not educating. A five-year-old doesn't need to know about transgenderism. A five-year-old doesn't need any sex education because they're asexual, essentially. Yes, they tend to trend boy or girl by then, but let them be them, whatever them is. You don't need to educate them. They don't need to know about that. You certainly can't make the kind of decision that you need to make at 5 years old. The lifelong health impacts and issues you're going to have if you were to take puberty blockers or things like that. I mean, that's child abuse. It's child abuse. Sex education for five-year-olds is child abuse. It's grooming. It's perversion. Hey, kid, here's some candy. Let me tell you what you got to do for it. That's what that is. It's just sick, perverted stuff. And I'm going to be honest, if you're a teacher and you're teaching that to kindergartners, you're sick. I don't care. I don't care if it's mandated by the state or not. If you're teaching that and you're talking about sex and sexuality with five-year-olds, I don't care if it's mandated or not. That's perverted. You should just refuse to do it. Yeah, I don't care if you tell anybody. You should. But, I mean, we got to ask ourselves what kind of teachers we've got if they're willing to teach a five-year-old about sex, right? Speaking of, you know, good influences on sex and children, GM is apparently pushing to sponsor I believe the book is Gender Queer. It's one of the pervert books that they keep putting into school libraries because God knows you need to have a lot of stuff about graphic sexual depictions, things like that, in children's libraries. Those are really important. The same reason they need drag queens in the children's libraries, because that's really important to their education. How can you not see that this is sick? How can anyone question that this is a bunch of perverted groomers? Yes, I recognize that groomers has tremendous negative connotations, and I am telling you that they apply to you. I am insulting you intentionally because you deserve to be insulted. If you believe a five-year-old needs any exposure to anything related to sex, you are a sick person. Don't tell me it's science, because I've been through the science with COVID, right? They tell me everything is science because they gin up garbage studies that are meaningless and aren't actual science. There's all sorts of problems with them. And then try and use it as a justification for terrible behavior. Hey, COVID jab, anybody? But these sorts of things are happening constantly and all over the place. There is no justification. And it's my opinion. And, you know, last I checked, I'm still allowed to have an opinion. We'll see if the First Amendment applies. But I'm pretty sure that I'm allowed to have one. And it is my opinion that if you are in any way, shape, or form pushing or teaching any sort of sex or transgenderism to five-year-olds, there's something wrong with you. I just don't know what else to say. Okay. Sorry. I mean, Sanctuary State, really? Sanctuary State? We need a sanctuary state for transgender kids? Like I said, I think that the Catholic Church would feel at home there. Pope Francis is on his way. Free speech. You know what? I want to talk about free speech, but I'm going to tell you, before I do that, you know, did anybody pay any attention to any of the New Year's Eve stuff? You got that big ball drop. They got the big party in New York. They got all this stuff that happens every year, and you know, a bunch of woke nutcases out there partying it up. I noticed that there weren't as many masks in the crowd. Most of the mask Nazis seem to have decided that they're no longer helpful. Despite the fact that the vaccines actually increase your likelihood of catching COVID and probably catching it more severely. Yeah, that came out. There were some studies that came out on that this week, by the way, in case you weren't sure. I was right. Refer to my Renz rant. You can find me on Rumble there. But despite that, there weren't quite as many masks. But what there were a lot of crimes and psychopaths and other sort of deviants that took a role. Did you see New York City? They had the guy that attacked the police with a machete. Wow. Times Square. Don't you feel safe there? Look at that Democrat utopia. Of course, we have Democrat utopias in places like Chicago. Had a few issues there. Of course, you know, Chicago, and I actually really like Chicago as a city, or at least used to, but you used to be able to go through there without having to wear a bulletproof vest. Chicago used to be a nice place. Portland, I mean, I was in Portland not that long ago, and Portland, you know, you fly over and it's like, wow, this is really beautiful mountains and trees. You land and you look and, you know, from miles away, you look at the downtown. You're like, oh, look at all these new, beautiful buildings. Boy, it looks like it's a utopia. Then you get downtown. It looks like the zombie apocalypse hit. You got homeless encampments all over, needles, people drugged out on the side of the street. I mean, it's the most dystopian thing you've ever seen in your life. It's a nightmare. What all these places have in common is they're ran by Democrats. And, well, when you refuse to prosecute criminals, when you refuse to support business, when you refuse to make economic policies that make sense, guess what happens? Your city collapses. Shockingly, Antifa's presence in Portland has not helped the city to recover really well. I mean, you know, you got a lot of pretty buildings that look like they got hit by bombs, at least for the first two or three floors, because, you know, that's about how high they can throw whatever it is that they're throwing at the building. But what a mess. What a mess. Why would you want to live that way? Yeah, I just got kind of this thought popping into my head. I think what we ought to do is we ought to kind of challenge everybody listening. I think if you live in a Democrat dystopia, you ought to go out and like video some of the worst of the worst. And we ought to see if Democrat dystopia can get trending on Twitter or something like that. You know, just post your videos of the worst of your city. I mean, you'd probably have to have about 40 hours of it to get through like two blocks of San Francisco, but you know, we can all try. I don't know. We just need to, it's really an amazing thing. You know, it was interesting. One of the best things I've seen recently was someone posted some video of San Francisco, Nancy Pelosi's district. And I mean, honestly, Hunger Games, I guess. I don't know. I mean, it was straight up dystopia. I mean, but you figure San Francisco has, you know, their poop app so that they can report where people have pooped in the street, because so many people are pooping in the street that they need an app to report it. You notice the pause there? That's because I really don't even know what else there is to say about that. I mean, honestly, if you need a poop app in your city, you know there's a problem. I mean, we've really crossed the threshold there, right? So, yeah, but the San Francisco poop app is a real thing. Somebody posted some video of San Francisco and the encampments and the people and what's going on. Holy God. I don't even know. It's just like the whole city needs a bath. It's just disgusting. That place is repulsive. I mean, who in the hell would want to live there? I can't even imagine. But don't worry. Pelosi gave Zelenko and the Ukrainian Nazis billions and billions of dollars. Clearly, her city doesn't need it. But Ukraine, they definitely do. Those scumbags over in the Ukraine, you know, the Nazi brigades, a country that has absolutely no strategic value for America, they need billions of dollars. Nancy Pelosi, her district, you know, where you've got crack pipes and poop apps and God knows whatever else. Well, I don't know. Maybe she should have funded more police over there. Maybe that would have made it so that they could have got to her house quicker to save her husband from his gay tryst or whatever it was. Did I just say that? I meant save him from the intruder that was clearly breaking in or something to do something with something, something, niner. Yeah, I threw a niner in there, you know, niner. Wow. Wow. We've got some issues here. But it's all good. It's all good. We are getting there. Free speech. So it's turning out that Elon's little Twitter file thing, and by little, I mean monumental, seems to be creating a cascading effect. We keep seeing more and more of this. And the depth and the extent to which our government was colluding with private industry to censor free speech in America was shocking. It is absolutely shocking. Now, a lot of people have struggled because they've, you know, there's been a lot of lawsuits that have ran up against Section 230, and they haven't been able to get anywhere with these social media companies and the censorship. But I think with the amount of evidence coming out now, you're about to see a sea of change. This collusion between the government and these social media companies, this was well beyond just a private company deciding that it didn't want certain type of speech on its platform. this was absolutely coerced from the government. I mean, the FBI, the intelligence community, these scumbags, these trash monkeys that are in there absolutely waging war on America, these guys, they were 100% behind it. This wasn't a isolated thing. This wasn't a, well, we just really want to make sure that our government is, you know, is looking out for people, so we're giving them a few tips over there. No. This was outright censorship. It was coordinated. It was planned for, and it was intentional. There's no question about that. And it's not also completely unconstitutional and totally unacceptable. There are a number of laws that I think have been violated, and I don't see anyone being arrested yet. I don't see anyone who is facing any sort of real consequences on any of this yet. Listen, look at the attacks they did on Trump for nothing, for ginned up nothing. These guys literally colluded to destroy our Constitution, to steal an election, to do all these different things, to interrupt free speech, and not a word. Not a word. I'm telling you, I'm glad that the reawakening is happening, and I'm glad that the people are waking up, because this is not an acceptable situation, and we got to keep fighting. We just got to keep fighting. Well, one of the things that we got to do is we got to fight sickness. And we fight sickness by using Cofix. Cofix is a wonderful solution. If you use the OutLoud code at checkout, you're going to get a wonderful discount. Cofix is a nasal wash, and it works like washing your hands. If you get stuff on your hands and they're germy, you wash them. If you get germs in your sinuses, you wash it. You get rid of the germs, you get rid of the sickness. That's how it works. It makes total sense, right? So that's what Cofix does. And, I've used it. I'm shocked at how much I like the product. It just doesn't seem like the kind of thing I'd want to do, but it actually, if you're sick and stuffy and feeling crappy, it feels pretty good to get rid of that. So I want to urge you, click on the banner ad, buy Cofix, use OutLoud code at checkout, and support our OutLoud network. I mean, that's what you're doing there. So I'm looking forward to continuing this fight, and until tomorrow, keep up the fight.